Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This morning I'm excited to introduce producer-writer Paul Jackson. He's best known for shows like Sliders, Lois and Clark, and Briscoe County Jr. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
You bet.
Please tell us a bit about yourself and how you started as a writer.
Well, I started as a writer in 1987, just before the writer's strike.
Wow.
And actually, ABC gave me my first job, first paying gig, for a TV movie that never got made because the star backed out. But it got me in after 4 years of being in L.A. trying to break in. And kind of from 88 until now, I'm worked pretty steady, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, that's amazing. That's a long career in writing.
Starts to taper off a little bit as you get older because that's just the business, but still making a living at it, and that's for a writer, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Is there, like, an issue? I had seen a show where there was, like, an issue for screen and television writers. As you get older, that you get less work because they want to get the young bucks in. Is that one of the things that happens?
Yeah, ageism is a problem in Hollywood. It seems that you start to drop off your credits when you go to meet with people. I can't tell you, probably three or four times, maybe I can't tell you. I've gone in and some executive, I remember watching Lois and Clark with my parents, and you're like, it can't be a good sign. So it is weird because the older you get, the better you are at it, I think. But
yeah,
you've learned all the tricks, you know. Yeah, you know all the mistakes to miss because you've made them or seen them in other writers. You know all the, and there are tricks to writing a TV show. It's a very strange art form, and you've got more life to draw upon. But you're dealing with executives who, for the most part, are fairly young and prefer speaking to fairly young people, which, you know, is understandable. And what you have to do as relevant as possible and not get stuck in old-fashioned writing, which is, you know, it's some people can do it and some people can't. They just always write like they were still writing in the 80s. And the times have changed. The storytelling has changed.
Yeah. Because of the fast cuts and that people have no attention span?
That is a big problem. No attention span.
Because I've noticed that in TV shows and movies that people will... that the shows go really fast, like
It's even a question of subtlety or trying to layer some depth. You don't have time for people to figure stuff out. They have to kind of know who the characters are almost by type. Oh, he's the funny guy. Oh, he's the gay guy. Oh, she's the smart-mouthed woman. And you end up writing them fairly simple and simply because of that situation. They don't get a lot of depth. You and I were chatting a couple of days ago about BBC shows, and I think that's a huge difference is you can spend time in the BBC going a little deeper, and cable too, but you can get people who aren't quite so simple and identifiable. You go, oh, that's that type. If you're writing types, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess that I really love all the shows on BBC and on PBS from Masterpiece Theater because they're so complex and in-depth and interesting, whether it's a situation comedy or a drama, and I kind of miss that with American TV.
It's more of American network TV, the four big networks.
Yeah, cable and pay-per-view have that, but, like, yeah, the big four, they've kind of, like, let it go.
Yeah. Well, and that's what you get. You also get people who say, well, you know, you've got to be... The problem is the clicker, and it's been that problem for the last 15, 20 years, maybe longer. People have so many other choices that they just go, oh, I'm bored, and off they go.
Yeah, it's sad. How did you start writing? Did it start in college? Did it start earlier? Where did the influence come for you?
That's, you know, I wrote my first spec script in high school. I was watching a show called The Waltons, which should remember, and I loved it. And I loved The Waltons, and I wrote a spec Waltons, a speculative Waltons, just a sample. And in fact, I knew nothing about the form. I wrote it in play form because I was a high school thespian. And through a series of events, someone was able to get it for me from Oregon, which is where I lived, to L.A., where Earl Handler actually read it and was kind enough to send back to me a two-page critique. And he clearly read the entire thing. And that inspired me to stay with it. But it took 20 years, I think, before I actually broke into the business after that.
Well, you got a kindly letter back. That helps.
I have it. I have it right here on my desk in the original Lorimar envelope. I have never, however, met Earl Handler. And I have tried to do it on many occasions where he's at an autograph show or something, and he unfortunately rarely shows up, even though he's been announced. I hope that someone here knows him and can tell him what a great impact he had on me when I was a little boy.
His show was very, very special. I mean, I grew up watching that too, and it touched my heart. I mean, how can you not love the Waltons?
Exactly. And that was a show where it was, I'll call it, put it this way, more classic or old-fashioned writing, where, yeah, you knew what was going on, but they didn't always have to say it on the nose.
Exactly.
And that's different now.
I know. I guess I'm showing my age. I like that.
You sound so sad. Now, I don't want to turn you off on modern television.
No, I'm not. I still watch TV. But I just,
okay.
I mean, like I told you earlier, I still watch shows, but they're more cable. I like Burn Notice. Although there is one new show that I do like that's actually on the network, and it's the first one I've watched in a long time, and that's Elementary.
I've seen two, and I like it too. I like the lead guy. I do. I like it a lot. I just have not decided that I'm going to watch it every week, but I did like the first two I saw.
Yeah, I haven't watched a network show in a long time. I always give it a shot. You know, at the beginning of the year, I'll look at the different shows and see if there's anything I like. But they kind of fall by the wayside.
A lot of them start off great because the pilot can take forever to write.
Yeah.
You have so much time. But then unfortunately, and some of them just don't have legs. The idea runs out pretty fast. I really enjoyed Revolution when it started. And,
yeah, I did too.
I'm
like
talking myself out of any chance there. But, yeah, it's just now I'm like, okay,
I'm over it.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah.
It was great for the first six or eight episodes that I watched, and then I get kind of bored, but that happens.
That's the same thing that happened with Heroes. I liked, the first three or four episodes, and then it just sort of lost me.
Yeah. We stopped with Heroes. And, this is going to be heresy, but we stopped with Lost as well. And I stayed with it for about 8 or 10 episodes, and then I got bored. But there is also the problem, and writers are like this. We're in the business, so we know we know all the tricks, and we know how the magic tricks work. And it's, my wife hates it when I... We'll be watching something, and I'll go, there's the inciting incident. There's the second act break. And she's like, stop. And I go, wow, they introduced that guy for a reason. He's going to come back in the fifth act.
And
so there is that problem with writers.
Stop it.
Yeah, especially in movies. I'll start to get all fidgety, and she'll go, knock it off. And I know when to get up and go get the popcorn, because I go, oh, here's the long character scene. I get plenty of time. Drives are crazy. So writers are not the best people to be reviewers because we get kind of, we've seen it all.
Yeah, that's funny. You must drive your wife crazy.
Yes, indeed it does. I'm surprised we're still married.
One of my favorite shows you did was Briscoe County Jr. Love Rogues Campbell. I love the show. Do you have any stories?
Well, I was on the lot at Warner Brothers, and I only did one freelance episode for them. I was not on staff, but I've worked with all those guys before, Sheehan and McNamara and Kern and Worth. And in fact, Carlton Cuse, who did Lost, is now doing Bates Motel, was the showrunner, and I did a Nash Bridges for him later. But I do have, I think, one really big memory that sticks out because we knew at the time it was special. And it was not my episode, but we were on the lot, and the episode prior to mine required a cattle stampede. And they have since torn down all the back lots that were Western towns. But at the time, Laramie, what they call Laramie Street, was still on the Warner Brothers back lot. And the Walton House is next to it, and a lot of stuff from Little House on the Prairie was shot there. And you could walk on that street, which I used to do just with my former writing partner all the time, just to get inspiration. And we went back there, and they were filming this cattle stampede. And there was a saloon, which was actually a working set. You could actually dress it and shoot downstairs or upstairs. You'd seen a zillion bar scenes in this particular location. And upstairs was a balcony. And all of the actors were up there to watch this cattle stampede. And they actually dug a hole in Laramie Street and put in a camera so they could catch the hooves going over the lens. And I remember standing between Bruce Campbell on one side and and watching a stampede with all the animal trainers and thinking and even saying, you're not going to see this again. It cost a ton of money. I'm not even sure why they didn't take some old stock footage. But it was just special. And a lot of people came down to see it. I remember thinking and talking to them about it, that this was not going to be something you'd see in the future just because they would be tearing down the street. We all knew it. So that was one of my big memories. And Bruce was a sweetheart. He's just a very funny guy, very wry. And Julius Carey, who unfortunately passed away, was a very nice man. He was huge and intimidating until you talked to him, and he was very friendly.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's a nice memory.
Yeah, it was.
That really is cool. I mean, I like those type of shows. I like Wild West and, you know, the ones that are about the West that kind of, that are about it, but also spoof it a little. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
That
yeah. There's an affectionate spoof. It's not mean. I like that kind of a show. That's,
yeah,
I
well,
think that's
what,
why I like it so much.
That's what Bruce Campbell did best. The show had a lot of double takes,
mm-hmm.
a lot of slow burns. A lot of what the looks at the camera. I did a series called The Young Writers, which was just the opposite. It was very serious about it and very moody, and it was a big deal to get the mail from one place to the other. And, you know, those kind of shows, unfortunately, you can write very quickly because there's not a lot to it. It's just a lot of grim-looking, good-looking guys. And believe me, they were all wonderful actors and terrific people. But it just didn't have much of a staying power because it was really about the plot, you know,
mm-hmm.
who was going to steal the mail this week or what bad guy was they were going to inadvertently upset and have to, you know, finally take him out in the final act. So I do. I agree. I thought Adventures of Briscoe County, it was ahead of its time, really.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that would, if it was today, it would be still going.
Absolutely. And Fox was a young network. And I think that was the other thing. They took a big chance on it and made it almost a spoof, but not a, you know, not a broad spoof.
No.
But it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I have fond memories of it, and I really enjoyed writing it. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I love Bruce anyway. I mean, everything I've ever seen him in, he was great. So
yeah.
It's a memory that's in the back of my head, and I always think of him in that show. I just,
yeah.
It was a good show.
It was with a great theme song.
Oh, I loved it. Is there like, is the Western era, or is there a specific era that gets your creative juices going?
Well, I've done Westerns, but I wouldn't say it gets my juices going. I would, you know, I'm pretty open. I think writers have to be. I just did do a script that was set in the 70s, 1971, actually, in Hollywood, which is out circulating now, because it was a time, not only was I alive then, but it was a time when the Vietnam War was coming to a crescendo and Watergate was about to start, and AM radio, which is really what it's about music, was ending. The time
yeah.
of boss radio was ending, and FM was starting. And prior to being a writer, I spent just under 10 years in commercial radio, as a DJ and a program director and a newsman, even swept up the place once in a while. So it really, it's my Mad Men. You know, if Matt Wiener is, you know, says he grew up, you know, idolizing the guys on Wall Street, I grew up idolizing the guys in L.A. who I couldn't hear. I was up in Oregon, but I knew about them, all the guys at Boss Radio at KHJ and KRLA and even KFWB back then was a rock station.
I know.
So that really grabbed me.
That's my era. I was listening to them.
Well, I got to say, I still listen to K Earth a lot, and you know, remember a lot of the songs. And I go, oh yeah, or Sirius has 70s at 7. I know this sounds silly, but it just really, that era grabs me, and I think a show set in that era will do well because the music was changing. Yeah, well, let's hope.
That 70s show was very popular, and kids are kind of like seem to be hungry for the old days, so. I hate to say that since it's my era, but
yeah, you say it. I won't say it, but
I
love that.
That's the way they
show,
think
the way.
Of it.
My wife will tell you that if I'm in here doing nothing in particular, I'll have a 70s show repeat running, and she's like, "Really, really?
You
haven't
really
you seen that like
that?
30 times yet?" That's just simple fun. I enjoyed that show immensely.
It was cute. It was really cute. When you write a teleplay, like the one we were just discussing, what's your starting point? How do you start?
Well, it's always about concept first. You know, what if this happened? What would it be like if a person was in this situation? And sometimes it just comes to you literally as you're driving. I once got an idea while sitting in somebody's chair and just sitting there, they were talking about something, and this idea just popped into my head. So I always start with the concept because that's eventually what you end up selling. You know, when you walk in and sit down, yeah, the characters are always important, clearly, and they want to know deeper and deeper. But if your hook isn't strong, you can tell right away that they're not interested when you pitch it. So I start with the concept, and then I start building it with characters. Who would be interesting in this concept? Okay, let's say that the concept is, not this is mine, but let's do Quantum Leap. A guy goes back in time to different time areas. What would be the best person to do that? What is he looking for? What's his backstory? What are his skills, if any? So I start with that, and then obviously in a pilot script, you have to come up with a good story that introduces all of your regular characters who are going to be there each week. And yet your story can't be too complex because you only have 44 minutes of airtime, so about 53 pages to 57 pages of real shooting time. All pilots are long because you're introducing a series to a buyer. But, that's how I kind of work. Even with episodic, if I'm on a show, you sit down and go, okay, I have these characters. What would be interesting to see them react to or lead into? What situation can I put them in that I'll get something out of their characters that I haven't necessarily seen 30 times on this show already? And that's how I work.
Do you write an outline, or do you just jump into the script, or do you write notes? How do you start writing your script? I mean, do you do it longhand? Do you do it right in the computer?
No, I don't write it longhand. I can't even read my own handwriting. That would be impossible. I usually start off with just a beat sheet before I do an outline. And the beat sheet is just that, you know, beat one, body found on street, hero being chased, mistaken for the killer. Beat two, runs around the corner and meets a cab driver who eventually becomes his partner, that sort of thing. And the outline, for me, it's a much faster outline because I already have it in my head and I just write down things maybe I've come up with for each scene. But if you're doing it for the network or a TV show, they need to know what that scene is going to be about. Sometimes, because shows get eaten up so quickly, you film in anywhere from 6 to 8 days. I've done 6-day shows. Sometimes the shows start to fall behind, and they'll have to prep the episode on the outline. So you need to let that outline has to tell them everything they need to know when they're starting to cast and location scout and a day or two or even the day of filming. I try not to do that. Most of the shows I've worked with don't, but I've also been on shows that are so far behind that literally on the day before filming, there is no final script. So you always have to have an outline that's much deeper in detail when you're doing it for a show that's running as compared to a spec script.
Do you enjoy doing the pitch? Or, I mean, do you... feel like it's an ordeal like an actor does for an audition?
I don't know any writers who enjoy doing a pitch. It depends on if you're a particularly good actor, because there's a certain amount of acting. I remember working with a wonderful writer who passed away who never looked up from her notes. She would read you her pitch, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, just all you saw was the top of her head. And you're like, well, that's interesting. And she would just read it. But, yeah, I don't hate pitching. I think it all depends on how secure I am with the idea and how prepped I am. But the other problem is you don't want to be over-prepped. You go in there and suddenly you're just, you're getting so deep on stuff that you could see people's eyes glaze over. And everybody has a short attention span these days. They, first of all, they've heard a zillion pitches if you're an executive. A zillion.
Yeah.
So when you walk in the door and you start with, and I don't start this way, but imagine a world. You know, okay, what's your, give me,
what
try to get
your
to
idea?
Yeah, what is it? What's it about? Because you can hide it forever, you know. We have a character named Bob, and he's 50-ish, but, you know, is he? And they're like, hey, what's your idea? So you need to get to it fast and yet tease them enough. It's almost like a striptease dance. You know, they all want to get to the goods, but you want to tease them enough that they don't, you know, just move on to the next dancer, you know, say thank you, goodbye. On the other hand, I was just in a pitch recently. They knew there was a script coming. I'd already written the spec script, so the pitch was very fast because they're like, but we're going to read a script, right? So why listen to a long minutes for a TV show?
Right.
I think so. I think if you're beyond 10 minutes, you've bored them.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you can tell by their body language, too.
I mean, I just see this desk with six men and maybe one token woman, and they all have the same blank face on. And they're like, because that's the way sometimes I was an actress, and when I went for auditions, that's the way it felt to me, that there was, like, all these people, and they're just, like, blank.
Yeah, and they're always leaning back in their chairs as if they're trying to separate. I've been in a zillion casting sessions.
Playing with their pen, that made me crazy.
And unfortunately for actors, I could never be an actor. We know pretty much when you walk in the door whether or not you have the right look, first of all. And so assuming that we go, that's not the right person, now we have to sit through your audition. You're, of course, all excited about it because you've worked so hard. And the chances are we've already made a snap decision. Unless you're doing a pilot, are pretty much done in one afternoon. So we're moving pretty fast, and I couldn't do it. It's so unfair. There are actors who come in and do the greatest read ever, but it turns out they look too much like the star, so they're not going to be in the same scene.
That's so sad.
It is. I feel so bad for actors. I feel bad, but I always try to be nice to them and say, you know, thank you, and you know, really good job, and most of them know that, you know, that's... If you're really excited, you usually ask them some questions. But, it's a tough life. Listen, Hollywood is a tough, tough business, and it's because even though you're the best there is at what you might do, it doesn't mean you're going to get the break.
Yeah, because a lot of really great actors never do.
And great writers.
And great directors.
And great well, a director can only direct if he has a show. An actor can only act if he has a script. The writer can always write.
Yeah.
And people hate this. I don't know. I know you interviewed Steve Sears, a friend of mine from Xena. We've agreed on this. A lot of this is luck, which makes some people unhappy because you can create opportunities for it. But it is. I know writers much better than me who've never made a dime. So it is what it is. I've been very lucky, and I don't say that with any false sense of. I'm just, you know, kidding you for TV or radio. I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. It's. I've been very lucky. A lot of people would agree. And you need that. You got to be lucky. And some wonderful actors I know, good guys, just never caught on.
I think that's sad. I know it's true. I know it's absolutely true because both of you told us that. But it's just sad.
If you go back and look at a TV show, go look at a TV guide from 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. How many of those people are still on TV?
True.
They get a chance, they get a shot, and, you know, often they just disappear. And it's sad.
It is. And then you wonder, what happened to them?
I'll tell you a very quick story. I was doing Sliders over at Universal for the Fox Network. And one day, one of the second ADs came up to me. I was on the set, and he said, I'd like to release this extra and just give her voucher for the day. And I said, is there a problem? And he goes, well, she used to be the star of a, and I won't say which show, TV show I used to work on, she was the star, the second lead, actually, and now she's doing extra work. Not that there's any shame in extra work, but she was the star, and I feel weird. And I went, done, send her on her way. And that's what happened. She never became anything beyond that, and it's a short shelf life for a lot of people in this business.
But I understand why they let her go, because she was a star once. I don't understand.
Well, it was awkward for her now to be the extra.
Oh.
It's awkward when you have your own, you know, you had your own trailer and people used to, listen, when you're a star, your whim is everything. And then the next day, you're just one of 80 people standing in a restaurant scene being told, you know, with a bullhorn, don't look at the camera, you know, don't make noise. And it's not acting.
Been there.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Have you been an extra?
Yes.
Oh, well, then you know.
I do. No, but I just didn't understand why they let her go. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was just doing her job. So
uncomfortable, I
didn't understand that.
Yeah, just.
But I
just
guess if it's uncomfortable.
Well, here's the second AD who used to come and knock on your door and say, hey, here's your coffee, Miss So-and-so, and we're ready for you on the set. And now the second AD is going, don't walk in front of the star, don't do this. It's like, for the actor anyway, it was kind of a come down. But the point of that was is that people, you know, they cycle through.
Yeah.
And writers have that problem too, but a writer can always create a new project. Actors really can't.
Yep.
And that's the downside of being an actor or a director, and the upside of being a writer. And by the way, for any writers who are listening, they'll always read your script at some point, because they never know that whether or not you're going to have the next Lost or the next Burn Notice, you know. So if you write a script, it may take a while for it to be read by someone, but it will be read.
Really?
And yeah,
I
believe
that.
Lots of people I know get a chance that they're read. But just for whatever reason, the luck didn't follow them.
Hmm.
Now, don't be sending me a bunch of scripts just because I said that. Not you, but...
I wouldn't do that. But, I mean, others might.
Yeah.
We have just a few minutes left.
Yes.
I know you have some projects coming up. You want to talk about that?
Well, at the moment, there's a project being animated through Stan Lee's company. I've done a bunch of projects with Stan over the last couple of years, and it's called Stan Lee's Mighty Seven. There was a series of comic books, which I wrote with Stan and another writer, and, you know, I'd never done a comic book, but it was needed animated feature. I've been sworn to secrecy, unfortunately, to tell you the stars who are voicing it, but they're big stars. I mean, one of them is the star of one of the biggest summer blockbusters that's coming up, and I think they all wanted to work with Stan. So that's coming out, I'm told, in January 2014. It'll be on a network called The Hub.
I watch that network.
Do you watch The Hub?
Yeah.
Well, it's coming out.
It has Spider, your show.
Yes,
and it has Hercules, which is Stevens.
That's right. And they just ordered, I was told, two more of those. So I have two more features to write for that. And then I have a pilot I wrote on spec, which has been optioned by a well-known production company here in town, and my next meeting on that is with ABC, but I don't know if it's this week or next. And it's I think it's got a pretty good chance. It's a procedural with a twist, which, of course, you have to have a twist, and I'm feeling pretty good about that one. So those are the two things that are primary on my menu this week.
That's really cool. I'll look forward to them. I really will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time. It was a great interview.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Next week, we're going to be having a retired teacher and a new author named Cheryl Hill in regards to her new book, R is for Reading, which really is cool because I love books, and I think it's great to teach children that. I'd like my live audience to thank Paul for a wonderful interview, and I want to thank you, too.
Thank you.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.